What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, November 13th, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the pure one, at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
Let me tell you something.
What I meant you going to tell me, Greg? Early.
It's been, it's been a crazy few days for me.
It has.
Shot off to Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Did Extra Life there with Irrational Passions. Thank you all, of course, for watching the Irrational Passions stream, but thank you to the Irrational Passions kids for streaming for 24 hours. Thank you to the OK Beast crew for streaming for 27, I think it was, hours, maybe 28. Right now, Team Kinda Funny on Extra Life has raised about $85,000.
Holy crap.
Putting us within spinning distance of the year's goal of $100,000, which means I'm going to probably have to stream some more at some point.
You think?
We're so close now.
I know.
I got to just push it a little bit further.
Push it.
And if I really get it. Anyways, I've been frazzled with that.
Mm-hmm.
I got a new iPhone coming today, frazzled with that.
You're going to love that one, Greg.
Jen and I are trying to set up our own Slack, which has been a whole nightmare of trying to log in to talk, to cross-platform talk easier.
Why?
Because I don't have a Mac, because everybody here hates Macs. Yeah, so we iMessage all day, but then I put the phone down, and then it's a pain in the ass when I'm working to do it, but if I have it all on one screen, no problem. So I'm doing that.
Yeah, that's going to be a nightmare.
However, you walked in, I was trying to get Kinda Funny Games Daily ready.
Yeah.
Turns out everybody got mad about Battlefront again while I was gone.
So many people
just
so mad.
So many things happening we'll talk about here on the show. But I meant to point out, you look really good.
Oh.
You walked in your black V-neck.
Thank you.
Your beard's coming back
The beard is back, boys.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very excited about that. I looked in the mirror, I think it was yesterday morning, and I was like, I had this moment of like,
I'm back, baby. Feels good. All right, good. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. I like that. I like what you're doing over there. I didn't know what you were mouthing at first, but then I figured it out.
I do it every episode.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't ever see you doing this.
I do. I usually just try to keep it. I try not to distract you.
It got me this time.
Sorry.
So you fucked it up. But no, I didn't turn fast enough. I needed it. Plus, I'm wearing my Danny O'Dwyer shirt because I just saw Danny
O'Dwyer.
We're so
green today.
We are very green today. Friday platforms. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about before giving you some perspective. I can't talk because I've been up for 40 million hours. Some perspective, answering your questions, reading your bad PSN names, hanging out with you, the best friends. If you like that, you can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. But the only way to contribute to the show is by going to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your bad PSN names, people you need to play games with, but most importantly, your questions about the day's news, like so many of you did today. Of course, if you are watching live, we need you to correct us. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong while we're broadcasting. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so that at the end of the show, we can read it. Set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe, no matter where you get the show. Thank you so much for enjoying it, watching it, sharing it with your friends. If you enjoy what we're doing at Kinda Funny, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Kick us a buck. It really, really helps. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! There are two items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen!
Not really.
No, why? You say that, Kev?
Way less.
Item number one stretches on...
I saw that.
Three pages. So it's going to be strapping. Now, we've done well, I feel. We've done well with the moratorium on the microtransaction, the loot crate. Mm-hmm. There was a couple weeks there, or was every show, with, hey, this is what's happening here, somebody else adding this in, what are we going to do? Pandemonium. We did fine.
Yeah.
We course corrected.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Wood has set a few things on fire since then. But while I was gone, while the weekend hit, Battlefront 2 exploded.
Yeah, it did.
Just out on the landing pad. I'll start you from the top, all right? So this is going to come from multiple sources. We're talking about Star Wars Battlefront 2, of course, out tomorrow. First off, there was a post over on Reddit someone put up. Basically, over there, it started breaking down how long it would actually take to unlock all these things if you didn't pay any money. It's a very detailed thread. It has spreadsheets and all sorts of stuff. Mm. I'm going to kick it over to Kotaku, who explains. By some estimates, the likes of Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader could take close to 40 hours each to unlock for the player intent on not spending any money on microtransactions. Heroes cost credits in Battlefront 2, with the average multiplayer game currently netting people somewhere between 250 and 350 for 10 to 15 minutes of play. The road to buying all of them appears like it will be a long one. Luke and Vader are two examples of the most expensive heroes at 60,000 credits each, but even heroes like Leia and Chewbacca still cost 40,000. Here are some calculations one user on Reddit came up with. The average galactic assault match length is 11 minutes, 9 seconds. Average credit per match is 275. Average credits per minute of gameplay is 25.04. Gameplay minutes required to earn a trooper crate, 4,000. That comes down to, I'm sorry, so it's 4,000 is how much you need to get a trooper crate. It's to get it in minutes wise, 159.73 minutes. Gameplay minutes required to unlock one hero, 2,395.97. So a lot is what they're saying. There's a lot. Yeah. This is if you don't want to spend a dime, right? This is going to take you forever is what they go. The Kotaku article goes on, talks about that there are challenges in the game that can help players accrue credits more quickly, but these are limited. Once someone has finished them and cleared out any of their remaining milestones, the only credits coming in on a per match, they only have the credits coming in on a per match basis. Of course, daily crates can occasionally give you credits, but any star card duplicates will be broken down into currency as well. But neither of these is going to significantly change your finances. That's the Kotaku summary. Great job as always. Over on Reddit, though, this is popping off, exploded on the Star Wars subreddit, to which EA's community team responds. The intent is to provide players with a sense of pride and accomplishment for unlocking different heroes. As for cost, we selected initial values based upon data from the open beta, and other adjustments made to milestone rewards before launch. Among other things, we're looking at average per player credit earn rates on a daily basis, and we'll be making constant adjustments to ensure that players have challenges that are compelling, rewarding, and of course, attainable via gameplay. We appreciate the candid feedback and the passion the community has put forth around the current topics here on Reddit, our forums, and across numerous social media outlets. Our team will continue to make changes and monitor community feedback and update everyone as soon as we can. Oh, what a nice little statement. Yeah. Currently is the most downvoted Reddit comment of all time.
By far.
With 390,000 points on Reddit.
Ooh.
This then led to people giving death threats to the people on Twitter who make the game and the usual ugly side of the internet you get expected to see. Now, we're going to tackle all of this because, again, in terms of who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD today, a whole bunch of you did, and I would say 90% was all about, what do you think about Battlefront? A few give your perspective, which we'll get to in a second, though. However, what I found interesting is that, Tim, you and I...
Mm-hmm.
You and Andrew Renee, me and Gary, we talk on the show all the time about the loot boxes, the microtransactions. Gary, you know, defeatedly said we've lost the war on microtransactions last week. What I'm getting interested in, of course, with the accessibility of social media, how our industry is tied in to everything happening, the people now popping off online about this and giving their perspective. I'm going to kick it over to Gorilla Senior Producer Sam Sharma on Twitter, all right? I followed him for a while, of course, talking about Horizon Zero Dawn, but he put up a thread all about, not this in terms of Star Wars Battlefront 2, but about microtransactions from a developer side, which I find very interesting.
Let's go.
There is a lot of very passionate discussion this week on the various sides of the microtransactions and loot box debate. Far be it for me to tell you how you should perceive the developments, but I wanted to add some facts which a lot of journalists are getting wrong. Simply put, publishers do not put microtransactions in any game. Easy publishers will give a budget and a profitability target and guide towards best practices based on their existing portfolio/market conditions. Tough publishers will urge proven mechanics to minimize risk. In all cases, the development leadership decides the best way to maximize profitability for games. In extreme cases, there is a pub mandate to put in mechanics to ensure max profitability, but the way the mechanics work and the specifics, parentheses, drop rate, pricing, are all developer-led. I wouldn't want to argue as to specific mechanics and whether they are a good practice or not, but please know that development is complex and a publisher does not simply put microtransactions in any video game, parentheses, with exceptions, obviously. I also don't intend to shut down discussion, as it is very interesting to read differing perspectives and learn. I am always here to learn more in various perspectives on a complex issue, help me grow as a developer. Also, I work for a lovely company and an amazing publisher, and these views are not endorsed by them or anyone here. Anyone there. So please subscribe all blame towards me. Interesting take from a developer side, right?
Yeah.
Then, U.S. video game industry analyst for the NPD group, Matt Piscatella, on Twitter chimes in. Some of the most aggressive marketing ideas I've ever heard have come from devs, while some of the most adamant pushback on marketing I've seen...
MTS.
You know what? Just trying
to help.
No one can see the words as I'm saying them. I'll start again. Microtransactions, all right? Actually, Kevin Cutt, let's start the show over. Now I'm fucking around. Some of the most aggressive microtransaction ideas I've ever seen have come from devs, while some of the most adamant pushback on microtransactions I've seen has come from people at publishers. This idea of the big bad publisher and victim dev is, in my experience, a myth, which I found super interesting.
Man, it's fucking, let's throw the blame everywhere.
Well, it's fascinating to see Sam coming out and then Matt coming out and being like, I love this. I feel like so many times as pundits, industry,
dudes analysts, that talk about video games.
Yeah, exactly. We're out there in the dark. And it is always refreshing when I get a text from someone on the development side or on the publisher side who's like, oh man, you guys really nailed this. But it's always disheartening when I'm out for drinks and somebody's like, man, you guys don't know how this really works. And it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
And this is a great thing of like, hey, let's pull the curtain back in a very public way and talk about the fact that, now granted, they're not saying, they don't know what's going on internally at DICE and how this has all worked out and blah, 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 blah. But it is interesting to say that this isn't always the case, and it sounds like isn't most of the time the case, that it's a publisher saying like, hey, we're going to fucking milk every dime we can from your person.
And that is something that we and other, well, we and the journalists out there.
I know what you mean, the collective whole.
Have constantly pushed the idea of the publishers are the ones enforcing all this stuff and coming in, and the developers are the victims there. So yeah, it's interesting. I will say that I love the transparency, and I think that it's important, and it is a good step, and at least there is another side being stood up for, because otherwise it's just publishers getting shat on, and EA and Activision are just pure evil, and that's just all that people know. But the problem I have with it is, at the end of the day, this is just putting blame somewhere else. This is just trying to push it off. There's so much negativity around this right now that no one wants it on their hands. And I totally get that. But it's interesting to then put it on the developers.
Yeah.
So
what is your read then now, dialing it back specifically to this conversation about Battlefront 2 and 40 hours to unlock Vader or Luke?
So I think then, just like we've said a million times in the countless days and days and days of us talking about microtransactions, I think that there was a right way to handle them. There's a wrong way. I think that every game, it's context sensitive, and this is a perfect example of this sounds like the wrong way.
Yeah.
Will they change this? I have a feeling they're going to have to.
Yeah.
And it is a ever evolving thing where it's cause and effect, and people give feedback, and then they have to respond to it somehow. And I think that these numbers are egregious. These numbers are insane, and it doesn't work. I don't think that people are going to like that. They obviously don't.
No, they do not like it. You don't have to think on that one.
But it's like, we always talk about, oh, it's easy to talk shit about microtransactions or about how a game monetizes when we're not part of the community, when we're not the people actively playing. But I think that this is the type of thing where you can look at, and even if you aren't going to play it, it's easy to be like, well, that is just wrong.
Now here's an interesting wrinkle to this.
Wrinkle me up, Greg.
Jeff Clark writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I like the fact that we have to earn our heroes. Supposedly it takes around 40 hours to unlock a character, which is not a huge amount of time in the world of online multiplayer. The biggest problem for me with Battlefront 1 was that I had nothing to work towards. They are giving me something to earn and quote unquote show off. Something that says, hey, I put the hours in to get this because I love this game.
Mm-hmm.
Keep up the great work. Love y'all.
That is very true. But I think back to Halo 2.
Yeah.
And I remember you can have your custom armor or whatever. The samurai helmet. If you saw someone run around the Hayabusa helmet, you're like, holy shit, that guy's good. That guy hit level 50 or whatever it was that you had to do. That guy loves this game. Put the time in to get that. That's fucking awesome. Cosmetic.
Yeah.
That to me is the difference. I totally get what you're saying about wanting to work to unlock things. But in an online game that is going to live or die based on being these heroes, where it does give you a huge advantage, I think that there's a difference there.
Well, here's the wrinkle that I don't have the answer to, and I don't know if you do either, but it's because I've been on the road, obviously, and I've for me with Battlefront 2, it's literally been like, I just give me the game when it's done. Let the product speak for itself. To unlock Vader, unlock Luke, whatever, 40,000. You're going to have a hero no matter what when you start. I just assume it's not one you want, right?
Like, it'll be like Boba Fett or...
Yeah, so you still have that thing. I mean, cool, Vader and Luke are cooler, objectively, you'd say, than Boba Fett, who, of course, is a huge bitch and went out like a bitch and didn't do anything cool in the movies. It doesn't make any sense why anybody likes him. I digress, though. He looks cool. Oh, okay. I apologize. That makes sense. thought he looked like a, you know, an out of shape guy just sitting there with a gun and didn't really do anything. You know, you are a
psychopath. Yeah, just like that.
I thought he looked cool, of course, in the prequels when we found out really he was just an unprogrammed clone. And I still don't know what his metachlorian. I'm just, let's stop trolling
Jury's
the Star Wars
out.
Kids. Sorry.
Jury's out.
I think it's still not cosmetic. He's cooler. I'm sure Darth's powers are a bit better. But I also don't know if this. Here's what's really confusing for me in this argument, right? Is taking away the what we just talked about from the two analysts or two industry insiders, mm-hmm. right? Talking about how maybe this is on the dev, not the publisher. I wonder if we didn't already have the kerfluffle over loot boxes and microtransactions and everything. If the well wasn't already tainted, at least on Star Wars Battlefront 2, if we would have sat there and said, maybe this is, to what Jeff's saying, just a course correction way too far the other way. Because, stick with me, what this sounds like to me is a lot of my complaints with Friday the 13th, right? Where it's like, your trophy list is stupid. Who the hell is going to play that much, you know, get the 1,300 kills or whatever the hell it is? Mm-hmm. But then it is that thing, as I continue to play Friday the 13th week after week, I'm slowly doing that damage to it. Could it be possible that when DICE was designing these multiplayer rewards, they weren't thinking of it from, let's get everybody's fucking money. They were thinking of it as, we heard people like Jeff, who said in Battlefront 1, they ran out of stuff to do. Let's give them a giant carrot at the end of the stick so that when you do see a Vader on the battlefield,
yeah.
you do go, holy shit, this guy's played a lot. Because even if you, and again, not having the game, not being in it, I'm not sure how you go about buying the credits that you can mm-hmm. then apply to this. But I would still, my first reaction would be like, man, this guy really loves his game, has played a lot if he's Vader. Not that
you
he
don't
went
do
in
that with Vader and Luke, though. I think that's...
You go ahead. Sorry.
That's where I'm at with the Friday the 13th thing. Is like, cool, getting the trophy. Sure, that's definitely the trophy is equal to cosmetics in my mind.
Okay,
it's bragging rights. It's a thing that people see and like, oh shit, this guy fucking did this. But Luke and Vader, you should not put characters like that behind such ridiculous paywalls.
Do a cool
whether it's time or what, something like that. Exactly.
Because I mean, I'm sorry, I have to bring it back to the only online game I'm fucking, you know, thousands of hours into nowadays. But like, there's a Jason I'm still striving to get to level 40, whatever to get. But I still have a million other Jasons. So it's, but if I see that Jason on a map, I'm like, oh fuck, this guy's played a lot of this game.
If it's Vader without his mask on,
ooh,
something like that, yeah, it's like, cool, totally, that's
fine.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that.
Put it behind a ridiculous, like, you have to play a bazillion hours to get this, whatever.
Yeah.
But fucking Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker, people right. that are shown in so much marketing
yeah.
material for the game. I don't know. Like, that's where it gets icky.
And now to come back to the conversation, I'm right there with you.
No, I know.
Is that yeah. I wonder where DICE's, not allegiances lie, but if it was more of just a course correction. But I'm, even as a casual Star Wars fan, Luke and Vader were super early unlocks in Battlefield 1 or Battlefront 1, because I remember playing as them, and me and Kevin played a fair enough. Share of hours, but it wasn't like we were like
yeah.
every day doing the work.
Walt Williams tweeted a whole bunch over the weekend.
One of the writers of Star Wars Battlefront 2.
And I thought
campaign.
Some of the things you were saying were interesting. This was before, or at least it was like, it wasn't the worst part of this whole Reddit storm.
Yeah.
But he was saying, hating microtransactions is tired. What's wired, it's a weird way to say this, recognizing that a project-based industry attempting to maintain a traditional full-time employment model must find new revenue streams to survive a sale-focused consumer base that expects constant expensive innovation. If you don't like how microtransactions are implemented in a game, then let devs and pubs know. Many of you are. That's good. They will listen. But if microtransactions don't work, something else will replace it. That's what happens when dev costs increase, but retail costs don't. Let's not pretend this is an EA/Ubisoft thing. Players are perfectly happy to engage with microtransactions when implemented in certain ways, and that's partly because a good gameplay loop is designed to trigger the gambling impulse regardless of money being involved. When the gameplay and microtransaction loop is balanced a certain way, it creates the illusion of being optional, which in turn makes players more happy to engage via real money. That's why my timeline's flooded with people saying, just do it like Overwatch. And then someone says, yeah, in Overwatch, I don't have to spend 40 hours to play as Reinhardt. Walt replies, I agree. Some smaller companies making smaller games can get by on less cash. It would be incredibly helpful if journalists researched and published profiles of those companies that gave concrete info on how they do that. And then he just goes on and starts replying to a bunch of people. And it's just interesting to see that even the people that are working on the game, and granted, writers are different than...
Sure.
He doesn't have any say in how the company. Like,
right. And I think one of the, I'd have to be correct me if I'm wrong, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Like, Walt was a contractor on this game, whereas like Mitch is like in-house, works at Motive. He works for EA, whereas Walt was probably hired for this single player project, wrote a story with Mitch and got out.
But going back to what you're talking about, it being good that the pubs are coming out and yeah. talking and setting up for themselves. I think it's good that Walt, whatever his position is, he is saying that they're listening. You know, he's inside enough to know that like they are listening to this. EA sees this. And on one hand, I'm sure they see this and like, this is a PR nightmare that I'm so upset we have to actually deal with. But on the other hand, they're like, we got to fucking come up with solutions and fix it. We can't just keep going being like, this will pass. This isn't the type of news that passes.
No. And that's, you know, it's so hard to separate the wheat from the chaff on this one, right? Of just the fact that, okay, cool. Everyone's making their voices heard. It's the most downvoted thing on Reddit. A lot of people are having really great discussions about it. That's the way to fucking handle this. People always ask how, you know, on the show debate how to properly vote with your wallet to tell them you're not a part, you're not down with this. Everything that's happening right now is everything we've talked about right now is a great way to handle it. The death threats, being an asshole,
horrible way,
trying to be a fucking sarcastic dick on Twitter to the community manager, not the way to handle it. This is speaking louder than anything. The fact that we're still having this conversation speaks louder than that. But it is still, I have not played retail version of this game. When we get this game in our hands and we're able to go through it and play on a live server, what does all this look like? Is it that the rewards or what I start with are so bottom of the barrel that I'm never, then I'm going to look up this giant mountain and see that, oh, well, to get to Vader or to get to, you know, I hope Watto, whoever's up this thing that I need to play as my hero, uh-huh. I'm going to have to put 40, 30 hours into this game. And like, well, then that just breaks me from ever wanting to do it.
I mean, it goes back to what we were saying earlier. Like, this is not a game that I'm going to play to that level.
Yeah.
Like this news doesn't affect me as a gamer at all.
Yeah.
How it does affect me is the long-term overall forecast of microtransactions and how they're going to be implemented in every game going forward.
Sure.
So it being such a big deal right now, there will be changes. The next game will not be this egregious, you'd imagine, based on this response.
Well, it depends on how much money they make, but yeah.
And that's true. It does depend on how much money they make. People again, need to vote with their wallets.
The whole thing of like, and I don't mean, I'm not trying to put down us as an industry or I should say us as consumers, right? But like, it happens all the time. These announcements happen and everybody gets so up in arms and mad about it, but then the game comes out and everybody buys it and does whatever and nobody cares.
Yeah.
If they see actual numbers like, oh man, people are not investing in the microtransactions. Oh man, people are starting into this game and then seeing something like this and just bailing on this game. People aren't buying this game based on it. Those are all going to speak loud and clear, let alone, yeah, this publicity nightmare, sure. I would like to imagine, I would like to give DICE the benefit of the doubt in the same way I give Gun and Ilphonic the benefit of the doubt on Friday the 13th, right? That, you know, the intent is to provide players with a sense of pride and accomplishment for unlocking different heroes. Yep. You've set it apparently too high based on what the early access kids are saying on Reddit and all what you're the most hardcore. This would be similar to us putting out something and going to the Patreon page. And the Patreon page is like, we're the first people to get this and this sucks, right? Like, that's what's happening here. You're hardest of the hardcore, early access. I'm playing this, you know, so excited and putting it aside my weekend. And now I'm sitting there doing math on spreadsheets saying the system doesn't work. Mm. And now it'll be on.
I'm doing math on spreadsheets.
I wanted to fucking be Han Solo, Darth Vader, and Watto. And here I am at home now using Excel like a real PC gamer. And here I'm just fucking out there doing all this stuff. We'll see what happens. I'd like to imagine benefit of the doubt that they see this and they have a response pretty quick. Of like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's too high. We'll bring it down. But I think to what you're saying would have been a way smarter way of like, hey, here's a really cool cosmetic Vader, Luke. Maybe they have different powers or augmented things that are cool up there. Not like game winning bugs.
Yeah, but whatever the hell it is. I don't know, man. This, to me, the thing that sucks the most is good Star Wars games. And, you know, with Visceral's going away and like there's been a lot of words going out there of like how good was the game and all this stuff. I don't even care. Yeah. I just like, I want there to be real passion and thought put into Star Wars games because Star Wars is special. Star Wars should be a gold standard. And to see
in
all this stuff.
Every platform, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, oh, man. Like, I don't like that. Because Star Wars has so much marketing juice behind it, of course, these type of things are going to be a big deal. Because there is so much money to be made. And I get it going on Walt's thing. It's like, yeah, money needs to be made. Like, these games. Do you even think about how much money Star Wars Battlefront 2 must cost to make?
Yeah.
Holy crap. There must be hundreds of people working on this game. And the marketing budget alone is probably more than indie games are made for, right?
Oh, of course, yeah. Oh my God.
So it's like, and to keep these teams going, to keep people happy, and to keep things moving, keep putting out new content. And last Battlefront 1 season pass was the big deal. Now microtransactions is the big deal. They're just trying to find a way to be able to support these giant blockbuster games. And it just sucks that like it seems like it's in such a, they haven't figured out a way that people are happy to spend money for.
Sure. Yeah. And that's what this year has apparently been all about, is everybody trying to experiment and figure out how you can keep a fan base happy and keep somebody a community engaged in a way that makes money. And it's one of those, man, I'd love to live in that, be able to take a peek in that alternate universe, right? Because I feel like what you're talking about, yeah, last year there wasn't as much content, there wasn't all this stuff, like keep people around, or not last year, last game for Battlefront 1. I would love to see the alternate universe where EA and or DICE and Motive take all that feedback and like, all right, cool. Single player, a multiplayer system that keeps you engaged and has all the stuff, no microtransactions or no loot boxes or just cosmetic stuff, right? And really their message is not, hey, this is the way the industry is going, but hey, this is what we're going to go mm-hmm. do. We've seen the success the Witcher, CD Projekt Red's able to have with the Witcher. We're going to do that again, right? Here's the single player thing you'd actually care about. Here's this thing. We're not going to nickel and dime you out the gate and see how it goes. But again, it's also what we're talking about of the community of, I'm interested in Star Wars Battlefront 2, but I don't really want to, like, I think that 40 hours sounds like bullshit, but also what am I getting in those 40 hours to get there? Like, I'd rather play the game and see what happens. So mm-hmm. I guess we'll know tomorrow to some extent.
Very soon.
Second item on the Roper Report. This is a short one. Xbox One X is getting an Overwatch patch. Xbox One X is getting a 4K Overwatch patch from Windows Central. Blizzard told them, Overwatch team is excited with great possibilities. With the great possibilities Xbox One X opens. The team is currently exploring how the game experience can be enhanced on this platform to leverage the console's incredible hardware, and is working on implementing a 4K resolution. Implementing 4K resolution in the game on Xbox One X. It is very important for the team to make sure the user interface looks natural on a truly big screen. We will share more details about our plans for 4K support on Xbox One X later. To which Kyle writes in and says, hey guys, Blizzard just announced they're working on that 4K support for Overwatch. I'm still waiting to grab a 4K TV, but from what you guys have seen, does the 4K resolution really make a huge difference over 1080p? Or will you only notice it if you're comparing the two side by side? Thanks for everything you do. Games are pretty cool, man.
Games are pretty cool.
Tim, you own a 4K TV?
I own a 4K TV.
You have a PlayStation 4 Pro that the FTC PlayStation sent to us for review purposes.
And it gets hard. I've been saying a lot that it's like, yeah, you don't notice unless you're comparing it side by side. However, and this is kind of an empty statement because I don't have anything to compare it to, but this weekend I played a game on my PlayStation 4 Pro on my TV.
Yeah.
And it was 1080. And I was like, ooh, this looks really rough. And I wonder what the 4K version would look like. Because it was one of the first times I had a moment where I'm like, it reminded me of playing a 720 game when I know what 1080 looks like. And I was playing through this. I'm like, ooh, like this should look better than it does. And it made me think like, fuck, the Xbox One X would help with that. So I don't know. There's the answer.
Are you do you regret pulling the trigger on your 4K TV?
Oh my God, no.
Yeah.
My 4K TV is beautiful. That's the thing, is the TV enhances the experience so much. And we're just in that weird kind of catch-up phase where there is just so much. I don't like that we have to wait for patches. I don't like that we have to wait for these experiences. When Final Fantasy 15 came out and didn't have the pro update right away, it's like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Now I need to play through this game, and then once the update's out, I'm not going to keep playing. I'm not gonna play again like just because it has the stuff. I'm excited for a future where that is the standard, and day one there's a patch, there's this, there's that, it's all good. HDR beautiful, although HDR is not even exclusive to the pro models, it's also on PS4
right
slim or whatever. So
yeah, I think we're finally getting that tipping point where I not now that I have the PlayStation 4 Pro and the company Xbox One X at home sitting there, it was that thing of the other day where when they announced the Destiny 2 4K patch was coming out, which is actually I think coming up in the new new dates for you. I'll jump ahead. As detailed in a post on the developer's official website, the update, this is from IGN, the Bungie update will arrive on December 5th, the same day as Destiny 2's DLC expansion, Curse of Osiris, and its second season of content. That's when it'll get its 4K super visual awesome thing. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was like, huh. I got these systems on there, and I'm not in a hurry. I bet if I'm going to buy a 4K TV, I bet it'll be next year sometime.
If you're going to buy one, it's about to be a good time.
What, like Black Friday? I'm not around doing any of that crap.
Black Friday, you don't need to do that. Don't even worry about that. But yeah, it'd be probably around December would be a good time. They're going to announce the new ones in January, but I wouldn't worry too much about like missing out on the
features. I'm not there yet. I mean, I'm not in that big of a hurry. I'm not a graphics whore. I'm a story whore. Like I look at my games, they look good enough. But it was like to your point of like, oh, well, I still see myself playing a lot of Destiny 2. Like you know, that's a game that's going to be there and ongoing. Even when I was playing Frozen Wilds at home on my PlayStation 4 Pro. And even then I was like, oh, this looks beautiful as always. Like this looks awesome, but I wonder what it looks like in 4K. I know you played yours in 4K.
Yeah, but again, it's weird with Sony because it's not really 4K and it's just like upsampling and super sampling and all this fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Like I want to see what an Xbox One X actual native 4K looks like.
Sure. See, that just doesn't do it for me. Because I'm always going to want them trophies more than I want that 4K.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't, so.
You're a piece of garbage.
But I also don't like want to buy an Xbox One X just for third-party games.
Yeah, because you want those trophies, and you want to be able to play stuff with me and Kevin. Ain't that right, Kevin? Hell yeah! Tim.
Yes.
I'm super excited for the Destiny 2 expansion.
Yeah.
But it's so far away.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to know what was in the digital mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Repulse Galactic Rivals on PC. Repulse. That's it. But you better bet your bottom dollar. It's a crazy week. There's like 19 games coming to Switch this week. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
It's insane, including Rocket League. Can't wait.
Tomorrow.
New dates for you, though. For Honor's Season 4 Order and Havoc starts tomorrow on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. Final Fantasy 15 protagonist Noctis will join Tekken 7 as a playable fighter spring of 2018.
That's fucking awesome.
Speaking of that, let me jump ahead.
Yeah.
TMNT Woo-wee. Is coming to Injustice.
You see that trailer?
I did.
Hype
you see the reaction video?
The reaction video
video is even better. That's coming alongside The Atom and Enchantress.
So one thing I'm not clear on.
Sure.
Someone please, if you have information, let me know on kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Do you play as each turtle or is it all four turtles at once doing some weird tag team thing? Because the trailer, they made it really clear. It's like we fight together. And when they show them next to each other, they're a group.
Mm.
I don't know how that would work out in Injustice.
Yeah, but, I don't know either.
But let me know.
Yeah, I don't know if that's been announced, but if you know that, kindoffunny.com.
I was trying to find gameplay and I don't think it
exists. That's all they put out was the trailer. As a update on that, yeah, that's the next wave of DLC, and that starts with The Atom on December 12th for early access, folks. No date for the turtles themselves. The End Is Nigh is coming to Nintendo Switch on December 12th. Wolfenstein 2 got a whole bunch of DLC dates. The Adventures of Gunslinger Joe comes December 14th. The Diaries of Agent Silent Death come January 30th. And The Amazing Deeds of Captain Wilkins arrives March 2018. Then, like I said, yeah, PlayStation 4 Pro and Xbox One X will soon be able to play Destiny 2 in 4K with HDR. That is coming on December 5th for the Curse of the Osiris thing. Supermassives, The Impatient, and Bravo Team have been delayed. The Impatient is now coming January 23rd, and Bravo Team is coming March 6th. That sucks, but
yeah,
okay.
Whatever.
It's also, I mean, The Impatient, I felt like just missed its mark not being able to hit Halloween.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we have the scary PlayStation VR game, and it kept sliding anyway. And then final one for you, Axiom Verge is getting a retail release November 21st.
Huh?
This is where it gets crazy. There are five versions of the game coming to three platforms. So it's coming to Switch, PlayStation 4, and Vita. Then they're on top, you can just buy the game straight up as retail, but then there's a multiverse edition that comes with an art book, some posters, but most importantly, a documentary from 2Player about what's going on over there. I think it was 2Player. Check that for me, kindoffunny.com/journal. I want to see that because, of course, Axiom Verge, made by a friend of the show, Tom Happ. I want to hear the whole story because I've heard bits and pieces. What are the haps, Tom Happ?
What are the haps?
Tim,
It's
time for a reader mail.
Well, let's get to that reader mail.
This is where you write into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like Kenny Ballou did. Kenny
Ballou
says, today, Monday, November 13th, is your 100th show.
Wow.
Congratulations. Thank you, Kenny, for telling us. Thank you all for supporting the show and getting it to 100. I thought I would share some stats that may be interesting. Out of the 99 shows so far, Greg has hosted 88 times, Andrea 41 times, Tim 32 times, Danny 21 times, Andy and Gary Witta tied at 5, Anthony Carboni 2 times, then Gerard, Fran, Robin Honeykey, and Janina Gavankar 1 time each.
Ooh, okay.
So we'll see who breaks out of that one-timer club soon enough.
Numbers.
Random facts. The first show was on June 19th, 2017. Mm-hmm. There have only been 6 weekdays without a show, July 3rd through the 7th for the holiday, and August 11th for Kevin's bachelor party.
Yeah.
The first non-Kind of Funny guest host with Anthony Carboni on September 4th, 2017. There was no handshake on September 6th, 2017 because Anthony left the show early. The first day Andrew repeated her outfit was on October 26th, 2017, her 37th show.
Oh my God, really?
She's insane. She is insane.
Is that been a thing for her?
Yes. She made it. She called it out because she knows. I always compliment her because she looks so good. But she knows Kevin and I don't actually. We can't pay attention to that level.
Awesome.
That's when you know you have a professional like host. Like Andrea is like a gun for hire, right? That she has like thousands of outfits that she can just get in.
I freaking love that.
She's an insane person. The only show with more than two people on set was October 2nd, 2017, with Greg Miller's Industry on set. Mm-hmm. Greg and Andrea have hosted together 36 times. Greg and Tim have hosted together 23 times. Greg and Danny have hosted together 18 times. Andrea and Tim have hosted together 3 times. Tim and Andy have hosted together 3 times. Andrea and Danny have hosted together 2 times. Greg and Andy have hosted together 2 times. And Tim and Danny have hosted together 1 time.
Hell yeah.
I'll tell you right now then, to break some news for you.
What?
Tomorrow, for the first time ever, Andrew Renee and Gary Whitta will host Kind of Funny Games Daily.
Ooh, a weird little mix-up.
Kevin and I are going to L.A. for projects. Kind of funny. Kenny says, thanks for providing so much great content. I've loved the show and can't wait for the next 100. P.S. I have all of this in a spreadsheet if you would like a copy for internal records. Now, Kenny, I trust you. You just keep that record up to date for episode 200 so we know what's going on there.
Kenny Blue.
Hard to believe. 100 episodes.
100 episodes. That seems like a lot, but yeah. I guess it's 5 days a week.
I really like the show.
It's a good show.
Thank you all for the support. I was looking today at the YouTube numbers like, oh, hey, man, we grow.
Yeah?
These grow. This is like actually people are going up there. And I know we do. You point out where the Number one daily video game podcast.
On
audios. Thank you for your support. We love you very much. It's our pleasure to make this show for you. Duck Doom 2 writes in with a question that I thought was new, but it's actually it's like from the beginning of the month, but I'm pretty sure I never read it, and I thought it was still interesting, so I thought I'd toss it out here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Greg. What are your thoughts on games creating timed content that can only be accessed for a limited time? I'm referring to Hitman's Elusive Targets and Assassin's Creed Origins Trials of the Gods. It looks like the developers / publishers are trying to create a new trend to force more people to buy on day one or possibly very close to the game released. To me, though, it feels like they want to try and force us to buy and play on their time schedule and not ours, and I don't like it. What if I buy their game 6 months after release? What if I buy it on day one but don't have time to play it? Should I be chastised and blocked from accessing some content? Thank you. Keep up the good work. I don't know much about Trials of the Gods. Hitman Elusive Targets, I think, is a brilliant idea, but it works for Hitman because they think of themselves as a games as a service. Yeah. Where I don't, it's not them forcing you to buy it. It's them encouraging you to keep coming back to it.
Yeah, the thing is, he's focusing, Doc Doom here, is focusing more on the exclusive stuff that's day one or like the first week, which I can see that being a little sleazy. But going on, like, yeah, with the Hitman Elusive Targets, this is great because it's just giving people that have already bought the game, even if it is 6 months down the line, reasons to come back, reasons to keep playing.
And it also, I would think, encourage people who are on the fence to buy it because they know it's going to be supported.
There's more stuff
like
coming out.
Like when Gary Busey was a target in Hitman Elusive Targets, like, I guess I should play this. Yeah. I really want to fucking kill Gary Busey.
And we talk about this a lot where, you know, coming from IGN, like we understand that once a game comes out, it's over. It's done and it's not talked about anymore. So any reason to get the big sites to write and have to come through the blog roll and get that marketing push, it's good for everybody. It's good for the gamers. There's more content. It's good for the publishers and developers because their game's getting marketed again and hopefully more sales and all that stuff.
And correct me if I'm wrong. And I'll speak to Hitman again since I don't know what, I don't really know, and I meant to check it, I just ran out of time. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. You're allowed to write in and tell me what exactly Assassin's Creed Origins Trials of the Gods is. But for Hitman, I believe all the elusive targets were free.
Yeah.
So it's exactly the opposite of what we're talking about with the other things, right? Where it's like, hey, we're encouraging you, we're giving you content if you already own the game, but giving you content encouraging you to buy the game rather than nickel and diming you.
Yeah, I don't think all of them were free. Because remember, there was some of those weird DLC stuff, and if you buy the collector's edition, you get this.
Yeah, but I don't think it was the elusive targets, I thought. Mm-hmm. I thought the elusive targets were part of it.
Let us know, and you're wrong. But I think it's great when they do that. It's just, it does become hard as a completionist to miss something.
Sure.
You know, and it is then on their schedule, and that does kind of suck, but it's like, you just kind of get over that. It's video games.
It's kind of the fun. Right?
Like, you get it or you don't.
It's like when Destiny 2 was dropping, when Azur showed up for the first time, and I was like, fuck, I'm still into this thing. I want to be a part of it and go see what he has. And like, that was a moment.
Yeah.
And then he's out all the time, just selling the same exotics, I guess. I don't know. I haven't gone back to him since the first time because it was like, whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The Mendaz writes in and says, hello, Greg and not Greg. That's Tim.
It's me.
I saw that LEGO Worlds just had a steep discount and finally bought it. The price drop quite possibly indicates poor sales, parentheses, given that the game was recently released. This is the exact Minecraft I always wanted, and a lot of people might share this feeling, so why did it not catch on? What couldn't LEGO Worlds capture that makes Minecraft so great? Was it just a timing issue? Thank you all. I love your show. P.S. I love you beyond imagination. Oh, wait, wrong show. I think this goes back to Seinfeld of just like, we already have a George. We already have a Minecraft. You know what I mean? Like, Minecraft's awesome. And if you love Minecraft, or if you think you'd like Minecraft and you jump in, you know immediately if you're into Minecraft or if you're not into Minecraft. So for LEGO Worlds to come out, which I played at events and have chilling on my Switch and have never actually used on my Switch, it's like, I already have a Minecraft on my Switch. I don't need to worry about LEGO Worlds.
I mean, Minecraft is the LEGO of video games. That's how everyone pitches it immediately. And LEGO doesn't really need to do that. LEGO can't really do that. LEGO video games have their own niche. They have their thing. People understand what those are.
Yeah.
So to do this, no one thought this was actually going to work. You know what
I'm sure somebody at WB and TT probably did.
Really?
But yeah,
I don't know. It's just like, LEGO seems to me like the type of property in video game form that we'll just kind of grasp at anything. Like, they see something start up, it's like, we're going to do an MMO, because people are doing MMOs. Oh, Minecraft's big, we're going to do one of those. Oh, Toys to Life, we're going to do that. And they can do that because LEGO has that type of recognition.
Sure.
And they can just put it out, see what works, and then stop supporting it.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing, is that they know that games like LEGO Marvel Super Heroes 2, full disclosure, we're in that game, take it with a grain of salt, is going to do well enough. And all their LEGO tie-in games are going to do, and like what you're talking about, what a LEGO game is going to do well enough. So yeah, why not take a shot at Toys Alive, take a shot at this?
I wonder, is it going to do well enough?
LEGO Marvel Super Heroes 2?
Yeah.
I think for what they think a LEGO game does, yeah.
I was looking
what at was the last LEGO game that set the world on fire?
I don't know. And I get what you're saying, but even then, the PS4 and Xbox One launched with LEGO Marvel Super Heroes 1.
Sure.
And that was a big deal because it was the first time all the Marvel Super Heroes together. Cool, great.
Sure.
Looking at the box for LEGO Marvel Super Heroes 2.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Yeah.
There's a lot of who the fuck are these guys in this game.
100%. I'm with you. Don't. Yeah. I mean, like, if we're now, so now we're into a side conversation of how well LEGO Marvel Super Heroes 2 is going to do and what their projections are. I would imagine it's not going to do that great, but it's also a LEGO game. I mean, you might say, well, whatever. Fucking Widow was in here the other day. I'm like, man, we bought LEGO Ninjago. We've been playing. Yeah. It's like, all right. Like, and granted,
we'll see.
Yeah, I wish him bad. But I mean, like,
of course,
it is not going to do LEGO Marvel Superhero. Well, LEGO Marvel Superheroes was on PlayStation 3 and 360 as well, correct? Yes.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's not going to do those numbers because, like, especially as a launch game, people had it and were ready to jump into
it.
Yeah. But I just as a LEGO video game fan, I'm a LEGO video game fan the same way I'm a Telltale fan, where they put out a whole bunch of games and I'm going to pick and choose which ones I want to play and where I want to go with it.
This one just seems interesting to me.
Yeah. I mean, you got Spider-Gwen and Spider-Man 2099 on the front of the box, and those are among the most recognizable characters, right? Yeah. They have
Captain America.
Yeah, he's like, all right. It's not how I would have done this, but yeah, whatever. Whatever. Probably some weird licensing thing from Marvel. Who the hell knows what's going on over there? I digress. Where do I want to go now? Let's finish with Drew.
Drew
writes in, says, I would like to ask you guys about the overall negativity regarding seemingly everything in the games industry and how it seems to stifle any positive conversation. My primary example is Destiny. The Reddit is overflowing with negative post after negative post, and on the off chance that someone posts something positive, they seem to get attacked by people that post negatively the majority of time. I like to be a part of communities for the games I love, but I'm always afraid to post because I just don't have the time to be negative about this stuff. I'm an adult, and this is my hobby, so why use that little time I have to dwell on the negative? I can't be the only one that feels like they have to suppress their positive comments out of fear of being attacked because I'm, quote, letting these developers and publishers get away with ripping me off or stealing from me, end quote. Why do we let the negative people surprise us? And, I think he might mean suppress us. And, is that feeling of suppression, he did mean that, ever going to switch to the positive movement outweighing the negative? I just want to be able to share what I love about these games without being downvoted to the point where my comments aren't visible or be attacked because I don't want to share the constant negative circle jerk that floods most forums communities. Drew, you are not alone at all.
No, excellent, this is what excellent
we,
question.
This is literally what we founded Kind of Funny on, as a mm-hmm. place to come here and hang out with best friends who want to talk about things and celebrate things and not be dicks about things. Yeah. If you're going to be a dick in the community, don't engage with the dicks. Tell them we don't do that here and then walk away and ignore them, mute them, do whatever.
I think the heart of it is it's way easier to be negative about something 100%. Than positive. And I think that you are positively reinforced to be negative about things more than you are to be positive
Great
about
point.
Things.
You really got them.
Yeah.
And it, like, I feel the same way. I can't believe they're nickel and diming us on this.
Exactly. Whereas when you're positive, it's way easier to be torn down. And it's 100%. Way easier to look at someone and be like, oh, they're a fanboy. Or like, how can you like this and not that? How can you like the Fast and Furious movies? You're a fucking horrible person. It's like, come on. Right. There has to be a line here. And I think that it gets more complicated when they're the critique, right? When you like something, you're going to be its biggest critic. When we watch superhero movies, the first thing I think is, what did I not like about it? Mm. Obviously, I liked it. Obviously, yeah. I'm happy that this exists. I enjoyed it. I spent money on it. And I spent 2 to 3 hours watching the thing, sitting through the credits and watching the post-credit thing. Like, what I'm going to talk about is how does this rank against the other Marvel movies? How does this compare to this or that? Or I like this and I didn't. And it's like that gets taken so literally sometimes where it's just like, oh, he hated this. Oh, fanboy, this. It's like everyone just wants to group people and label people because it's easy. That's how things work. And even what I was just saying, like comparing it to the other movies, that is just grouping it. And it's just, that's what people want to do. That's what humanity likes, is being able to put things in boxes. And I think what you're seeing on Reddit, when it's the Destiny Reddit or whatever Reddit, these are the people that care about these games. Mm-hmm. So the negativity, I don't think always comes from a bad place.
Exactly. It's not every person on there being negative is trolling. There's definitely people who go to subreddits, forums, and just want to fucking poke everybody with a sharp stick to get them mad. There's a line there to walk, and there is this thing of the investment. And I remember it of being a kid. And like that, you know what I mean? Like, you know, why do we let negative people suppress us? And like, why is this happening? And you go back to it. I'm an adult, and this is my hobby. So why do I use what little time? There's people. I remember when I was on GameFAQs message boards for NCAA football, and I was like fucking all about like being there all the time and talking all the time, and it was something I owned, and I'm one of the biggest fans, so of course somebody comes in and doesn't agree with my opinion, well, I'm like, your fucking opinion doesn't matter. It's a young underexposed thing, I feel like, of not having more to grapple with and deal with. And I feel like every time you see, like, great example, this weekend I went and did Extra Life in Maryland. We did the Destiny 2 raid. And I haven't played Destiny 2 in probably a month or a month and a half, you know, whatever. Still into it, still gonna platinum it, all that jazz. And played it and finished it. And it was like, fuck, this game's so good. You know what I mean? I love this game so much. And like, I tweeted that out. I was like, after some time off, came back, love it as much as ever, right? And of course, the comments that stand the tallest are like, well, I hope you're talking about Destiny 1 because Destiny 2 is a nightmare because of Xbox. No. I enjoy it. Just fuck off. I'm not here to have this. I don't need to be attacked on this one belief that I feel this game's cool. Mm-hmm. And that every time you see me put up, I'm like, oh man, I played 2 chapters of Call of Duty and I'm really enjoying this story. It's great. If somebody responds, oh wow, 2 chapters. Like, what are you, like, what?
Yeah.
Why can't you just accept that I'm enjoying this? This is an opinion I'm putting out there.
Well, that's the thing. People need to feel the need to have opinions on people's opinions. Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, that's what this entire company is founded on in a lot of ways. But I just think that it's, like everything, it comes down to communication. It comes down to knowing what words you're using and what point are you actually trying to get across. Because the moment you drop a fuck in there, the moment that you add some word to modify the statement that you're making, it blows it out of proportion, and then the fight doesn't become about what you're talking about. It becomes this side or that side. And no matter whether it's Destiny or movies or YouTube communities, whatever it is, it just turns into this disaster of, you're either with me or against me. And it's like, there needs to be a gray area. There needs to be this middle ground where everybody can put their opinion out there and those opinions can coexist with each other.
Sure.
And that's not, when you go to Reddit, that's not really what it's going to be. And certain I think you just, yeah. But I feel like at the end of the day, the negativity most of the time comes from a good place. It's just presented the wrong way, which then results in toxic bullshit.
And I mean, you're talking in here, Drew, about like, you want to do it, but you don't. There's this fear of it, blah, blah, blah. the fear and all that doesn't go away until you actually go out there. And it's what we talked about when we started this, all right. And what I used to talk about at IGN is that there is a vocal minority of the comments, and then there's this silent majority that comes in, reads it, watches the video, and like, that was cool, and bounces.
Yeah.
And if you want to change it, you need to be the change you want to see. And that what that also means is that when you see someone trolling or being an asshole or whatever, and I'm not talking about being critical of something, I'm being a fucking dick. Don't respond to them. Downvote them. Don't comment. Walk away. Don't comment, because all troll. You don't feed the trolls, as some people say all the time. But I mean, the better thing is just don't give oxygen to fire. That's all those people want. And when you just ignore them, they go away.
Yeah. I think going back to what I was saying about the buckets, I think even within the communities, like, people want to bucket everything, and that includes saying, "Oh, Reddit's negative." When you see a couple negative posts, and you're like, "Oh, it's fucking toxic,"
sure.
And toxic, it just sucks community. Because everything is a toxic community. Every community is a great community. It just depends on what you're looking at and what you get out of it. The Kind of Funny Facebook group, depending on the day, depending on when I look at it, it's either the best place ever or the worst place ever.
Sure.
And it's like, that's the community's great. I know the community's great. There are bad apples, and the bad apples can turn people off to it. People always talk about NeoGAF or Reset Era or whatever it is and how fucking horrible they are. It's like, well, I have great experiences with them when I go and I click on the threads that I want to read. And it's like, yeah, when you go to a lot of the more political ones, it's going to be a little ridiculous. But guess what? That's what politics do. You just need to kind of temper your expectations and know what you're getting into. And I think everyone just needs to have thicker skin and understand that they're not going to get things the way they want them all the time.
Agreed. Time to squat up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, your username, your platform of choice, and what game you need help in. I read them here. The best friends find you. If you're looking for your wrong, I opened it for you. Shit. There you go. And then y'all squat up and have fun and play games together. Today, Gus needs help on PlayStation 4. His PSN name is RazorBlood09. All one word. RazorBlood09 says, Platinum 2 in Rocket League, looking for best friends to make the climb to Diamond. Short to the point. If you want to get serious about some Rocket League with RazorBlood09, hit him up on the PSN. Remember tomorrow's show, Andrea and Gary Witta. Tim.
Yes.
The people who watch us live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames are encouraged to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. So at the end of the show, we can give you one great rundown. Set the record straight for youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Tim, what do we get wrong today?
Dirt410 says Battlefront 2's release date is November 17th, not the 14th, as Greg stated.
Thank you.
Which is kind of weird.
Is it a Friday one?
Friday instead of a Tuesday? Video games, man. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah, they don't know. It's an entertainment milestone. It's also EA Early Access right now, I guess, if you wanted to go play it.
Yeah.
No editorializing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make your jokes either. I saw somebody correcting, like, Greg says he's been awake for 40 million. All right, man.
JS Collins says, when Tim was using Halo as an example, he said the samurai helmet from Halo 2. This was, in fact, from Halo 3, as Halo 2 had no customization. As I was saying that, I was like, I think this is wrong, but it's been so long. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Does it suck being a fake gamer?
I am a fake gamer. It is true.
Called him on it, Kev. We got him finally. This is a very loose Super Ant symbol I'm drawing today. I'm not thrilled with it so far, so you know. I show it to them all the time. Tim's still reading through. Again, don't editorialize. What's the fact we got wrong? That's because I didn't do the... I usually, you know, double trace the lines. I was just doing it.
PD0000 says Battlefront 2 has 8 heroes available from the start, and there are 6 more to unlock. In the first game, all heroes were available from the start. The 6 are Luke, Vader, Leia, Palpatine, Chewbacca, and Iden. All but Iden were available in the first game from the start, except Chewbacca, who is DLC. Personally, they aren't great carrots on sticks because I already have them in the first game, and Iden in the campaign. Agree with Tim that they should have been more obscure variants or something.
Wait, so I'm sorry, who's unlocked from the beginning? Did he explain that, or he said there are 6 characters?
The 6 are Luke, Vader, Leia, Palpatine, Chewbacca, and Iden. Those can
be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Real Radic 13 says, Tim, you most likely play as all of them, but you can switch between one turtle during the match. In Injustice 2, each character has a specific character power, which is assigned to the circle button. For example, Harley's character power is her summoning her pet hyenas as a projectile. Superman getting a short boost in attack power, et cetera, et cetera. My prediction for Ninja Turtles is that you choose one of the turtles. For example, you start as Leo, and you press down circle and switch to Donatello while keeping the one health bar. Cool. Yeah.
All right.
That sounds fun.
Are you going to become an MLG now at Injustice so you can play as the turtles? He's right in the you're wrong.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Okay.
Injustice looks great, man. That's a game that I totally just missed out on, and yeah. It deserves my time because, man, that thing looks beautiful.
Yeah. You keep doing cool shit with it, too. Tim's still reading you're wrong. He's got to weed through your editorial.
Big Daddy Wolf says, Hitman's elusive targets were only for players who bought the full season pass. If you're buying episodes individually, you were locked from the content.
Oh, okay. My apologies. Still like it, though, in terms of a reason to keep you coming back for more. But I guess if you're paying for it, man, maybe you should be able to access it later on. Interesting. But they went on forever, right? Or a year? Because they did give you chances. Sweet, I remember Jesus. Some people came back. Kevin's just shrugging.
Okay. Capitalist Pig, Assassin's Creed Origins, Trials of the Gods are limited time events where, in the case of the first release at least, you have to fight a boss-like character to earn a piece of rare gear. They're meant to be endgame level challenges. They seem to last a week, and there's no word on if they'll be revisited once they've occurred.
Okay. I still like it, though.
Also says, Walt Williams is contract only. He goes on to say, the only place I'm employed full-time is Mitchie D's heart.
Oh!
The source is, he asked him on Twitter.
Good. Thank you very much. Thanks for doing the work out there, Capitalist. I'm telling you, Capitalist Pig's the best at it. Kevin, you're going to have to figure out how we Skype him in and just throw him up on the wall and he tells us what we got wrong. Now, you said it in that way that I'm not sure if we could do that.
Wow.
I'm not sure. Okay. Okay. Hey.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Did this come in through you're wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, about 15 minutes ago, Alana Pierce tweeted, and I don't think I'll screw up the name. Alana Pierce tweets, there won't be a daily fix today because a large group of IGN employees have refused to work until the company issues a statement/apology regarding what happened to Kali Plague. I get it right?
Kali Plaguey.
Damn it, God. I love her so much. We talk all the time. We are legitimate acquaintances, not like friends. I don't like, we don't paint each other's nails. But like, I just fuck up her name every time I say it outside of it. I'm calling
Kali
her K.
Plaguey.
We're calling her K from now on.
Okay.
If you're, Jesus Christ. If you're out of the loop over the, what, Friday night, was it? She posted a Me Too post claiming that Vincent Genito, a former IGN editor, has sexually harassed her at the company and that IGN basically didn't do anything about it. It's all up on her Twitter. Vince put up a response that was 13 tweet response or whatever to that thing. Mm-hmm. And that was Friday night, and there hadn't been anything said until apparently now.
So now IGN needs to put out a post. We'll see.
I'm sure we'll cover this tomorrow. On Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about before answering your questions, comments, and concerns that you file over at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. No matter where you get the show, thank you for watching. Remember, you can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or listen on podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get it, thank you for watching it. Thank you for consuming it. It's our pleasure to make it for you. And until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.